I am speaking today with James Bamfield. He is the author of a new book, The Discipline of Pleasure. He also happens to be a facilitator at the Academy for the Love of Learning. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, James Bamfield.
Hello. Good morning.
So let me ask you about this book. I would assume something called The Discipline of Pleasure may get some frowns from people that practicing hedonism, one, in a culture that is completely self-obsessed, might be a little too much. Explain to us what this book is about and what led you to write it.
Well, it was exactly those frowns that I was hoping for. When I was first conceiving the book, a lot of people tried to advise me against the word pleasure. You know, couldn't it be something like happiness or contentment or something like that or peace? And I said, no, I want pleasure because I think pleasure is heavily misunderstood and it's an absolutely fundamental part of our, it is one, if not the most fundamental drive we have. And it's kind of ridiculous to try and sideline it. So what I'm suggesting is join this pleasure impulse, which I would say is very much hardwired. You just have to look at a kid. All they do is look for pleasure, but with discipline. And people often associate the word pleasure with superficial things. And what I try and show in the book is that actually there's a myriad form of pleasures, and the deeper pleasures are not these kind of self-indulgent picture that people have of pleasure. If you ask people, if I asked you, what gives you the deepest pleasure in life, what might you say?
Eating chocolate, being with my son.
Well, there's a big difference between those two.
It absolutely is. And actually, I usually would not associate the word pleasure with my son. Oddly enough, it would be joy. But it seems a question of semantics. So what is there a definition?
Yeah.
Is there an underlying definition that you use?
There is. Pleasure is, and it's the literal meaning of the word, that which pleases. So it's actually whatever makes you feel good.
And feel good on all levels, right? I mean, the physical body, I think I associate pleasure with almost physical sensation.
Well, and that's partly why I wanted to use the word, because pleasure starts in the body. If you watch even an infant, pleasure is entirely physical. Milk, cuddles, warmth. And so the roots of pleasure are physical. But even if you go to the other end of the spectrum, and I have a whole typology of pleasure, with a spirit pleasure, it still has its roots in the body. And still, if you really look into it, the joy, and joy is just a form of pleasure, a strong form, it's somewhere it will have its root in your body. You will feel it. When you look at him with love, you will feel that love in your body. It's not some ethereal thing up in the air.
It's true. It's true. It is an all sensation. Well, I definitely want to talk about the typology of it. But why you wrote this book, and you write in the beginning of it about your upbringing in England in a kind of upper middle class, going to British boarding school. Tell me a little bit about what led you to write about pleasure to begin with.
Well, firstly, it was, you know, it wasn't a sort of conscious decision. How did it really arise? You know, I've been on a sort of spiritual path all my life. I had my first guru when I was 16, all sorts of things on my spiritual path. And I think it's what's come out of my whole lifelong inquiry. Maybe, you know, they say that we write things or facilitate things that are really for our own good. And I definitely needed to write this book for me, and that's the first person I wrote it for. So to go back to your question, there is something pretty, I mean, I wouldn't say joyless about my upbringing, certainly my schooling, but the emphasis was definitely not on pleasure.
It was on success.
It was a tough place. This is one of the ironies of British boarding schools. Everyone thinks, oh my God, how privileged, which you are. You know, it costs a lot of money. But it's tough. It's a really tough environment. And, you know, that was from the age of 8. And you're taught to fight and to win and to really do your duty. You know, this is what the British private school system is what pretty much moved the whole British Empire and colonization. It's a movement. My school, the boarding school I went to, has been there for 500 years.
My cousins are attending a British boarding school, and when we get in family gatherings, we get into conversations, it's really as if any kind of pursuit of joy or actually enjoying your learning process is naive and silly. Very sure. American of you.
Sure, exactly. It's very kind of pragmatic in yes. that way. And I don't want to trash the whole thing. You know, I had some great experiences there, but creating joy was definitely not the strong point.
So you decide to do this book, and in it you do talk about these typologies. There are four of them of pleasure. Can you go through them?
So the first is simple pleasure. And simple pleasure is simple. It's our basic interactions with our environment, which are usually sensual. So it's your chocolate, it's the sound of a bird singing, it's the smile of a child, it's holding hands with your partner, a smell, a glass of wine. I mean, there are thousands available the whole time. Colors, touch. So that's simple pleasure. Then there's ego pleasure. And ego pleasure, as it probably sounds, is not the kind of top of the pleasure ladder. Ego pleasure is usually, it's nearly always at somebody's expense. And this is where, you know, the discipline comes in, because we all indulge in ego pleasure sometimes. It's about getting one over somebody. It's about getting a little bit of revenge. It's about scoring on a basic daily level. And often, and this is, you know, it would take a bit longer to explain it, sometimes ego pleasure is at our own expense. I'm saying that there's a kind of victim type pleasure, a kind of masochistic pleasure, which can take quite extreme forms.
And you think everyone in the population experiences. I must say, this was the one type I had the most difficulty identifying with. One, maybe I would like to believe I'm not somebody who really takes pleasure in seeing someone else harmed or someone else hurt in some way.
Let me give an example. A time when you've had an argument, a split up with your partner. Have you really not done anything which slightly eases your pain by provoking theirs? Though even if it's just in your thought, it relaxes the pain slightly. I'll tell him. Have you really never done that?
I think that's so momentary, though. And in the end, it doesn't. It actually brings me, or has brought me, more pain.
Yeah, sure. But that's my argument.
Okay.
You see, ego pain is not sustainable. Ego pain always comes back to haunt you. Always. It just doesn't work. But we have to admit we do it, because right. the pleasure impulse is working in everything. Everything. And the pleasure impulse is either to avoid pain or gain pleasure. But no, the whole point of the book is the journey from ego pleasure, really, to the next kind of pleasure, which is soul pleasure, and how people can lift themselves up. But, you know, we've got to be honest. The people who also create, who commit atrocities in the world, really nasty, bad things, they get some pleasure out of it, or they relieve their pain. And if we don't look at that, you know, it's hopelessly kind of pie in the sky type stuff. So my hope is to bring people out of ego into soul. So soul pleasure is what you make of your life. It's creating the good life in a creative way, in a virtuous way, creating the career that you want, the family you want, the house you want. It's the whole art. It's like your life is a blank canvas. Well, maybe not entirely blank, but, you know, you can do what you want within your circumstances. And that could be anything from a hobby, and you build up a whole hobby around classical music, or it could be some massive mission, you know, to help problems in the world.
So something that you're doing in your life that brings you a more sustainable pleasure?
Yeah, and it's really sustainable. There are some things that I've done in my life I know on my deathbed I will still get pleasure from. You know, isn't that worth investing in? So that's why when people say, oh, pleasure's self-indulgent, it's a very healthy self-indulgence if you go with discipline and go for the deeper pleasures.
And your fourth one?
Spirit. Right. Again, very underrated. So much cynicism in the world, and everything's going secular or fundamentalist. And those are the polarities that we're faced with. The thing about spirit pleasure is that some of the most, if you read the literature, some of the richest pleasure language is spiritual. Rapture, ecstasy, transported, all these things. If you read the mystics, so I'm talking about spiritual experience, mm-hmm. not belief ideology. That's, I'm talking about mysticism, really. And if you have a spiritual experience, a strong spiritual experience, like a Zen Satori or something like that, I mean, it's unbelievable. Your whole body can shake, or you feel an unbelievable peace, or, you know, it's as good as the feel good can get.
I know the Sufi mystics like Rumi or Kabir.
Rumi, look at him.
So
he just,
much of it's all pleasure.
Exactly. Isn't it totally pleasure language? And I love that. And the amazing thing is that most hedonist philosophers, all of the ones that I've read, are total atheists.
Oh,
and as I say in my book, so even Epicurus, whom I adore, you know, he's the godfather of hedonism. He's a total atheist. And for me, that's like, if you're a hedonist and you leave out spirit, it's a bit like you're being a wine connoisseur and you leave out Bordeaux. I mean, it's totally, but I guess they haven't had those sort of experiences.
So do you feel generally that people are avoiding their own pleasure, that they do have this guilt, especially here in America?
Totally.
Of course?
Well, not just America.
Yeah.
Or they just go for the superficial. Mm-hmm. You see, the people who get over the guilt and the whole sort of, you know, I could go into it all in the social media, it ends up with rather superficial looking for pleasure. You know, the people who get over the guilt, the sort of pleasure of possession and shiny things. And I've got nothing against that. Those are all simple pleasures. But if you're a serious hedonist in my book, you go for the soul and spirit. otherwise, you're just a tourist with hedonism.
Can I briefly touch on some of the workshops that you do at the Academy for the Love of Learning? Are they also based on the discipline of pleasure? And I will add one more. I'm speaking with author James Bamfield on his book, The Discipline of Pleasure.
No, they're not based on pleasure. They're based on learning. It's the Academy for the Love of Learning. One of the main courses we give is Leading by Being. It's all about transformational learning at the Academy for the Love of Learning. And it's just that the way my book comes in is that learning is one of the great pleasures. And it's really the job of the soul to learn. So most kinds of soul pleasure involve some sort of learning or inner transformation.
And yet you also do have a workshop specifically on pleasure that
will
be upcoming.
Well, I'm about to start. I want to start lots. And I want to do, you know, pleasure at work in organizations. I've got all sorts of ideas. But anyway, just for the immediate future, on June the 3rd evening at the Academy for the Love of Learning at 6:30, there is a free evening of exploration, they're called, on the discipline of pleasure. And that's it's not just a reading, that's an actual experiential exercise. And the Academy is great. They have every month these free evenings, and I'm starting with a pleasure.
And can people find more information about that either on your website or the Academy's website?
Yeah, I've got a new blog, which is just inchoate. I mean, it's just starting, which is just jamesbamfield.com. And the Academy website, that's the Academy for the Love of Learning. If you just put love of learning, you get it.
Perfect. Well, James Bamfield, what brings you pleasure?
Well, this interview's not bad. Because I like the contact of an interview. I like the creativity. I mean, you know, a lot of the simple pleasures, you know, are the same as everyone else. Hiking, sport, food. I think one of the greatest pleasures is my mission. That's the soul pleasure. You know, the message I want to bring to the world. I seriously believe that if people took pleasure more seriously, it would be a better world. Because I think they're chasing the wrong things.
Can you elaborate on that a little more?
Well, you know, it takes quite a while to explain. It's probably the sort of trickiest part of the book. I'm In broad generalizations, I think a lot of the problems in the world come through what I call truth wars. That is, my truth is more important and better than your truth. And that can be religious. It can be about land. It can be about race. So most of the really nasty things in the world happen because of a truth war. And my point is that hanging on till bitter death to a truth is actually ultimately can be an ego pleasure. And what people really need, if they really went into the deeper pleasure, so I fantasize that purely bringing a moral point of view, what Saddam Hussein or somebody does is just bad and evil, is not very effective. But if someone next to someone who is doing these things actually takes the question, is this really making you happy? Is this really bringing you fulfillment? Because when you hear about these people, they're not happy people.
No.
And none of us are happy when we're in a mean mood. We're just not. So rather than taking a moral line, which I think has had very limited success, frankly, I think the pleasure line is a softer, dare I say it, more feminine approach to life, where it's not just this big drive towards these truth goals. And it's like, yes, but it's also about enjoying life and the simple things and the spiritual things and the deeper parts of yourself.
Thank you. I've been speaking with author James Bamfield about his book, The Discipline of Pleasure. He has a workshop on this topic coming up on June 3rd at the Academy for the Love of Learning. You can look that up online. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Father John Deere.